Well, good evening, ladies. It's a great honor to be here with you, talking about Yud Shvat, and something very, very special, and it's something very wonderful to be here with you. Mazel tov. Now, let's just take step by step the significance of Yud Shvat and try to understand how it applies to us and how we can gain from it. The first thing is that it was Yud Shvat, the 10th of Shvat, Tov Shin Yud 5710, which is 1950, that the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson, passed away. He lived in New York, in Brooklyn, in 770 Eastern Parkway, and he had been ill for a number of years, and on the 10th of Shvat, he passed away. As a result, this means that the question arose, who is going to be the next Rebbe? And it took some time to persuade our Rebbe to agree to be the next Rebbe. And finally, on Yud Shvat, Tov Shin Yud Aleph, 1951, the Rebbe formally, officially accepted the role of being Rebbe. So that is a very special occasion for us, because it means that the 10th of Shvat is the day that our Rebbe became Rebbe, whether you look at it that he became Rebbe immediately in Tov Shin Yud, which he did in a way, or the time that he officially accepted being the Rebbe, but certainly Yud Shvat is the day that he became Rebbe, and because he became Rebbe, we are his Hasidim, we have a connection with him, he gives us access. What does it mean, a Chassid? There are many different ideas what a chassid means, a follower of the Rebbe. But we could say that what the Rebbe achieves is he opens the door for us, that we can come closer to the depths of what it means to be a Jew in the world today. That's what the Rebbe does. He opens that door for each person. And he helps each individual find their own point of contact with Hashem in the deepest and most beautiful way. So therefore, the 10th of Shvat is a special time, even if there was nothing else to say about the day. And there's a lot to say about the day. I'm holding two books which relate very specifically to the 10th of Shvat. So even if those two books weren't there, we didn't know about them, there would still be something very special about the 10th of Shvat as our point of hiskashlus, of connection to the Rebbe, which means that the door is being opened to us so that our neshamas can connect to Gezut. That our neshamas can connect together in the deepest way with Hashem Yisborah to Gezunt, and also that means, particularly in the way the Rebbe taught it, with the soul of every single Jew in the world. Okay, so that is the first aspect of the 10th of Shvat. It's the time when our Rebbe became Rebbe, and therefore that gives us a special connection with him, and that's something specially wonderful. So what are these two books? It just happens that they're bound in different color bindings. These books are both called Sefer HaMa'amorim, Book of Discourses, Bosi Legani, I Have Come Into My Garden. This is Sefer Ma'amorim Bosi Legani Aleph, and this one is Bosi Legani Beis. So we have two volumes What are these two books? And in the next 24 hours, that's what I'm going to be trying to explain to you.
Are there any more of these? I thought
I was going to be on top of 24 hours. Well, not quite.
Make it 25.
Well, we'll have to do it quicker. I think it's going to go for 24 hours that Mr. Tinkerman is going to bring us some water to help you.
How many story miles are those buses again?
Alex, you're here.
I don't know which number I was looking for.
Thank you.
This bus again is to do with the day of.
Yudshvat, yes.
Thursday.
I'm going to try to explain why that is. Thursday is the day that's actually going to be Yud-Shvat. And let me try to explain. Firstly, we need to know, it says Sefer HaMa'amorim. What is a Maimah? A Maimah is a teaching of Hasidus which is drawn into the world by a Rebbe. Now, in the world as a whole of Hasidus, starting with the Baal Shem Tov, one of the special identifying points about the Hasidic leaders, whether it was the Baal Shem Tov or the Mezritcha Magid, or the other disciples of the Mezritcha Magid, or the Alter Rebbe Reb Shneur Zalman, who became the third leader of Hasidus, these figures, each one of them, when they taught, when they were learning Gemara, they learned Gemara also in a very, very spiritual way. But when they were teaching a maimer among the Hasidim of Poland, Polish Hasidim, it's often called a Torah. There are different words used to describe what it is. But then among in Chabad, it's called a Maimah. And the Maimah Chassidus is a teaching which comes from an upper world in a most incredible way. It is drawn from Olamos Elyonim, from upper worlds. And when the Rebbe, our Rebbe, when he would say a Maimah, it was a most incredible experience. To be there in 770, hearing the Maimah, and sometimes, beginning in the 1970s, they were phoned through. And here in Lubavitch House, we were able to come in the middle of the night. And here, because at 9:30 in New York in the evening, it's 2:30 in the morning here in London. And we would all come, or many people would come, men upstairs, women downstairs, and we would have, for people who didn't understand the Yiddish, we would have earphones in order to hear a translation, a simultaneous translation that was being carried out on the spot by Rabbi Lou and other people. And it was an incredible experience hearing the talks of the Rebbe, the Sichos Kodesh, and especially the Maimah. The Maimah always has a reference to the previous Rebbeim of Chabad. We're going to understand a little bit more about why that should be so. But also, the Maimah is more Kabbalistic than the Sichas. The Maimah talks about Olamois, worlds, spiritual dimensions, Zerus, and you can see if we get to it, what happened to my bit of paper? It's gone. the diagram that we have is a very Kabbalistic diagram, and hopefully we're going to get to that in a few minutes to explain to you what this is all about. Here, yeah. So we're not up to there yet. I'm just showing you that, and that's something from the Maimah, and you can see that it's a very Kabbalistic concept. Yeah. Now, when the Rebbe would talk normally, when he would give a sicha, he would speak in a very dramatic way. The Rebbe was a wonderful orator. And when you hear the Rebbe speaking, it's very dramatic. And sometimes he laughs. It's like a very exciting thing, listening to the Rebbe tell a sicha, the ordinary sichas which were discussing something in Rashi on the Chumash. Why does Rashi say that? You know, the Rebbe would ask a question and give an answer and then another answer, then cancel out of those answers, give a third answer. But when it came to the Maimah, there was a different atmosphere in 770. It was something completely different. First of all, the first awareness that it's going to be a Maimah is they would start singing the Maimah Nigun. Oh, yo, 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 ya, ya, yo, ya, yo. And everyone is singing with. And everyone was standing up because there was a special quality about the Maimah. You couldn't hear the Maimah sitting down. You had to stand up. And everyone is standing up. And the Rebbe, during this time, is going deeper into himself. He's going deeper into himself in some way, and then he would begin to say the Maimah in a kind of a special nigun. It was a different thing. It wasn't like the ordinary expressive oratory that the Rebbe would use when he told the sikha. It was like something that was deep and was coming from another higher spiritual realm. Because this is a Maimah Chassidus. So that's the first thing. Now these Ma'amari Chassidus, they were said by our Rebbe, by the previous Rebbe, going back through the years, the Alpha Rebbe, he said the first Chabad style Ma'amorim, long, deep, complex Ma'amorim, and they're collected in the big Svarim of Likutei Torah and Torah Or. And then through the generations after the Alter Rebbe came the Mikla Rebbe, who taught beautiful, long, long Ma'amorim, many of them very, very long. And then the Tzemach Tzedek, there's about 45 or 50 volumes of the Ma'amorim of the Tzemach Tzedek, all in blue, and but different shape. So if you see them on the bookshelves, hopefully at home, some of you. And then the Rebbe Maharash, after the Tzemach Tzedek, and then the Rebbe Rashab, and then the Friediger Rebbe. Now the Friediger Rebbe, he was, as I mentioned, he wasn't well the last few years of his life. And what he would do, he would issue a Maimah to be printed. And when it came close to Yud Shvat, Plumshi and Yud, 5710, that means 1950, he issued a set of four Ma'amorim that he wanted printed, and the first of them was to be learnt on the day of Yud Shvat. So he wasn't going to appear in front of the Hasidim and say the Maimah, but the Maimah was going to be printed, and then the Hasidim would learn it on Yud Shvat. Now the reason why he chose the 10th of Shvat is because that is the day that his grandmother, Rebbetzin Rivka, that was her yahrzeit. And Yud Gimel Shvat was the yahrzeit of his mother, Shterna Sara. So the first two Ma'amorim were from Yud and Yud Gimel Shvat. And then it went on that there was a Maimah for Purim, and a Maimah for Beis Nissen. Beis Nissen is the day that the Friediger Rebbe became Rebbe, because the previous Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, passed away on Beis Nissen. So those are the four dates: 10th of Shvat, 13th of Shvat, Purim, and Beis Nissen. Those are the days that these Ma'amorim, these four Ma'amorim, were given out, and or two of them were given out at once. The other two were ready to be printed later. And so the Hasidim got this chaveris, they got this booklet with a Maimah to learn on the 10th of Shvat, and suddenly, the 10th of Shvat, which was a Shabbos the tree of the Gereba passed away. And so this Maimon, which has actually got four sections, each one has got five chapters, so it's a Maimon with 20 prokim, 20 chapters. This Maimon became the last statement of Rav Yosef Yitzchak, the last statement of the Friediger Rebbe. Now when the Rebbe, when our Rebbe, formally and officially accepted the Nesiyas of being Rebbe, he did so by saying the Maimon Bosi Dagan. There's actually a tape of him saying that Maimon, and you can get a tape where the Rebbe is saying the Maimon, you can hear how he does it. He says it in like sections, and there's a nigunim in between, and he speaks, and there's sichus as well, which have all been written down, and there is the Maimon Bosi Dagani. Now in that Maimon, in that first Maimon, he told stories about each of the six previous Rebbeim before him. Because there was the Alter Rebbe, the Mitzvah Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Maharash, the Rashab, the Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak. Those are the six Rebbeim before our Rebbe. Our Rebbe is the seventh. And he told stories about each of those Rebbeim. Each one is a story about the Avos Yisrael of that Rebbe. The way in which the Rebbe expressed Avos Yisrael, some incident in the life of that Rebbe. Like, for example, with the Alter Rebbe, there is a story how it was Yom Kippur, and he wasn't in shul, and they went to look for him. And there was a woman who had given birth, and he was looking after her, making food for her that she should be able to eat. Everyone else had left her and gone to shul, and there was the Alter Rebbe looking after this lady who had a baby, and no one else was thinking about her, but the Alter Rebbe was. That was a story about the Alter Rebbe, and so on about each of the Rebbeim. Now in that first Maimon, the Rebbe particularly focused on the first chapter of the 20 chapters in the original Bosi Dagani Maimon written by the Friediger Rebbe. There are 20 chapters, and the Rebbe focused on chapter number 1. That was in 1951, Tavshin Yud Aleph. In Tavshin Yud Beis, 1952, on Yud Shvat, again there was a special wonderful Febrayim, and the Rebbe again said the Maimon Bosi Dagani, and this time he commented on chapter 2. And in 1953, it was chapter 3. And so on, all the way till 1970, when he commented on chapter 20, and that was the first time round going through the Maimon. Now that's the first of these two books.
20 years.
This book, this Sefer, has in it 20 years of the Rebbe saying Maimorim, each year saying a Maimon on a different Perek, the next chapter of the original Maimon. So step by step, going all the way through explaining the Maimon. Sometimes he would say two Maimorim, because on Yud Shvat he might say a Maimon, then Yud Shvat was, let's say, Thursday. Then Shabbos he would again say a Maimon relating to it. So that's also in the book. So that is the first book. Now when it came to 1971, I remember walking into the Baruch house, and Rabbi Lou was saying to me, we wonder what is the Rebbe going to do, because he's gone a full cycle of the whole Bosi Dagani Maimorim. What is he going to do? And in fact, the Rebbe went back to the beginning, and he began again. So 1971, he spoke about the first chapter. 1972, the second chapter. Now here we have the table of contents, and it goes through all the way, 1983, 1986, 1987, 1988. This is Hosafos. This is like additional material. Why does it stop in 1988? That's the 10th of Shvat, 1988. Why is that the last line in the book.
The Rebbetzin
passed away, the 22nd of Shvat. Yes, she passed away 12 days later.
But was she in hospital?
And one, no. But once the Rebbetzin passed away, the Rebbe did not say Mamorim at all in the normal way. What they call a mimer with a niggle, to say a mimer with Bosi Legani Akhwisi. That kind of way. He didn't say a mimer. He said, the Rebbe said sometimes what's called a mimer ke'ein sicha. That it sounded like a sicha, and people didn't stand up and they didn't sing the mimer niggle. And the Rebbe said it in like a normal voice. But when you look at what it's actually talking about, it's really the subject matter of a mimer. So that's called mimer ke'ein sicha.
Is that the year she died? She died in 1987 or 1988?
She passed away in 1988.
But this is Yevshvat, isn't it? 12, she died.
Yeah, she passed away 12 days later. So 1988 is the last mimer. You see, 1989, the Rebbe didn't say, in fact, the Rebbe stopped having a Verbrennen during the week. The Rebbe gave talks after Meiriv. The Rebbe would stand by his stender and he would give a talk, and we would get phone through from a phone call from Mr. Hackner, come along, and hear the Rebbe speaking in the Babbage house, and everyone would run to the Babbage. You never knew exactly when there wasn't going to be a talk. And in fact, there was a saying among some of my friends, is the coming of Mashiach a phone call from Mr. Hackner or to Mr. Hackner?
Yeah, phone call to Mr.
Hackner. But hey, what's going on? So that was how, but the Rebbe did not again give Verbrennens in the week. It's interesting what
because
it morning, means.
Because
what it means.
Because he missed his wife so much he didn't put in sick.
I don't think we can put it in ordinary terminology like that. The whole spiritual relationship is something very complicated. In fact, there are many Hasidic leaders in Chabad and outside Chabad where the fact of their wife is an absolutely crucial thing in their lives. Absolutely crucial. Just today I was teaching in the university about the Piacena Rebbe. He was the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. He died in the Warsaw Ghetto. And his wife, when she passed, he used to play the violin in a very beautiful way with his chassidim around him. When his wife passed away, he never again played the violin. So there's a spiritual connection of an infinite, very, very exalted kind, in fact, between every husband and wife, but with the Rebbe, it's in a very, very intense way. Now, so let's just understand. So if we're going to take the 20 years, there's 1951 till 1970, 1970 to 1971 to 1990, even though the Rebbe didn't say in 1989 or 1990, and then there's 1991 till... Now, we are in the year 2008, which means we're in the 18th year. We are on chapter 18. So we're at the point where the Rebbe's last Vasi Legani Maima was said. You see, but we're now the third time. And so therefore, I've given out to you the Rebbe's Vasi Legani Maima from 1988. You have there in English, you have a few pages in English. I'm not going to go through this English, but the purpose of it is so that if you want to take this home and read it yourself, you'll be able to do so. I'll tell you what there is in English. This is the Friediger Rebbe's original Maimer from 1950. You've got there chapter 1, I came into my garden, then on the next page, it continues. It's all chapter 1 of the very first Maimer. And on the next page is chapter 18. So you've got chapter 18 in English. So you've got chapter 1 and chapter 18. So that's in English in case you want to take that away and read it. But what we're actually going to try and study together, Be'ezus Hashem, is Vasi Lagani 1988, which is all in Loshon Kodesh. And don't worry if you don't understand it. And we're going to try and go through a little bit of that. And I'm going to try to summarize it so that we're able to understand what it's saying.
Are they the same words?
Sorry?
Different words?
Well, you see, it begins the same, Vasi Lagani, and then the Rebbe summarizes. Vasi Lagani Achoisi Kalo, I've come into my garden, my sister, my bride. Now this is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. King Solomon in Song of Songs is saying, I've come into my garden, my sister, my bride. And the Friedrich Rebbe, my father-in-law, the Rebbe says, the Baal HaElulah, who's Yotzer, it is today, he brings Bahamaima, the Yom Nistalkos, the Yom HaElulah Shaloi, he brings in the Maima of the day he passed away, and the day of his Hilulah. Hilulah means something special, like a wedding, like we say about the Hilulah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer. Because when tzaddik, particularly the day he passed away, that is the time the tzaddik ascends to a higher realm, and he draws with him those who are mekushet to it, those who are connected with him. So on the day of the yahrzeit of a rebbe, it somehow lifts everyone up who is connected with him. And it says in that maimer, the isa b'midrash rabba b'mekoynoi, that it says in midrash rabba, in that place, where it says, if you haven't got a text, you can read it in him. Okay. Where it says in Midrash Rabbah on Shir HaShirim, that what does it mean, Ligani, that I've come into my garden? It's not just a garden, it's Lignuni. Lignuni means to my origin. L'mokon shohoyo ikri b'tchila. The place which was where my essence was at the beginning, Hashem says. Now what it explains in the Midrash, the Rebbe is saying it very briefly here, and he's assuming that the readers will understand, that the hearers will understand, is because what the Midrash is saying is that this pasuk, I've come into my garden, my sister, my bride, is Hashem saying, I've come to my origin, I've come back into the world. And it's talking about the time of the building of the Mishkan. There was Matan Torah on Har Sinai, and then there was the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary in the desert, and Hashem's presence, Hashem's divine presence, the Shekhinah, came to dwell in the Mishkan. And at that time, at that moment, this is Hashem returning to where his Ikar Shekhinah, where the essence of the divine presence was originally. The Ikar Shekhinah b'tachtonim hoisa, because at the beginning of the creation of the world, the Shekhinah was in this lower world. There was the Garden of Eden. There was Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve. And they were together with the Shekhinah. It was the most tremendous thing. There, together with the Divine Presence. But then, they did something wrong. And then another thing happened wrong. They did something wrong. They ate from the Tree of Knowledge. Cain killed Abel. That was another thing that went wrong. And they went seeing one after another, different things went wrong, and each time something went wrong, the Shekhinah departed a little bit from the world. And the Midrash counts seven different stages of the Shekhinah hiding further and further, receding further and further from the world. But through the inappropriate things, Nistalka Hashkinah Milamata Lamaya, the Shekhinah went away from below to above, higher and higher, away from the world, Adrakiyah Hashri, until the seventh firmament, like seven heavens. And so the Divine Presence was, so to speak, completely hidden from the world, seven firmaments away from the world. And after that, and the Rebbe says, V'huschel, take it, L'achem Exer, began immediately after this, Omdu Shiva tzaddikim. There arose seven tzaddikim. Vahoyvidu es hashchina, and they brought down the shchina milamayla lamata, from above to below. Avraham brought the shchina from the seventh to the sixth firmament, and Yitzchak brought it from the sixth to the fifth, And so on until you have the seventh Ad-Shabar Moshe, until there was Moshe Rabbeinu, Shuhu Hashvi, because you have Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, then Yaakov had a son called Levi, Levi had a son called Kohos, Kohos had a son called Amram, and Amram had a son called Moshe. So Moshe is the seventh. So then there was Moshe Shuhu Hashvi, and he is the seventh. And the Midrash says somewhere else, and the Friedrich Rebbe quotes it, V'chol Hashvim Chavivin, and all sevenths are precious. All the seventh, like the seventh day, Shabbos, the seventh year, the Shemitah year. So being the seventh Rebbe, being after Avraham Avinu, step by step by step, comes Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an incredible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu has a spiritual power that was not there before, because he is the Shri, the seventh. And so he was able to bring the Shekhinah right down into the world, so that here it is in this physical world, that this physical world should be a place of the illumination of the Divine Presence. The Inyan Zeyaridus Ram Shachas HaShekhinah Lamatava Oretz. And this inyan, this drawing down of the Shekhinah into the world, Nasa Be'ik Alidei HaMishkan, was made, was achieved in particular through the Mishkan, Sha'osa Moshe, which Moshe Rabbeinu himself made, Va'ad HaMishkan Nikra Maisa Moshe, and the Mishkan is called the work of Moshe Rabbeinu, K'moshe Kosev, as it says, Va'osu Li Mikdush V'Shechanti B'Solchon, they should make for me a Mikdush, and I will dwell within them. Now, in the original Maimah, it goes into a whole elaboration, wonderful elaboration of the way in which within the Mishkan, there is the Mishkan, which is the physical Mishkan, the sanctuary where God's presence dwells, and there is also the spiritual Mishkan, which is inside each individual. Because it doesn't say, V'osu li mikdush, they should make for me a mikdush, V'shulchanti b'solchoi, and I will dwell in it. It says, V'shulchanti b'solchom, I will dwell in them. When we make the Mishkan, Hashem dwells inside each Jew, inside our heart, of every single Jew, man and woman. And so therefore, the Maimon continues explaining that idea, as we see now in our space. Let's follow that through a little bit. Ubam Sheikh Ba Maimon. And it goes further in the Maimah, in the original Maimah, Sha'am Shochas Ika Shechina Lamata, that the drawing down of the Shechina below, the Shechanti B'Soichom, that Hashem dwells within us. Nasis Agidei HaAvoido comes about through the Avoido, through the effort. Avoido means effort. Avoido means the struggle that a person has in daily life. There are lots of different kinds of struggle. And the struggle that a person has in daily life, a kind of battle within ourselves, this is the battle, the Yisavcha Chashoycha L'Nohoira, of transforming darkness to light. Inside ourselves, we often have a little bit of darkness. And that darkness has to be transformed into light. There are many different forms that this darkness might take. And the darkness might prompt us to do various things which the code of law lists as things that we shouldn't be doing. Some of them are, you might say, easy to avoid. Others are more difficult to avoid. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says we're not supposed to worry on Shabbos. Not very enthusiastic about us worrying anyway, but we shouldn't worry on Shabbos. So it's not quite so easy always to keep that little paragraph in the Shulchan Aruch.
Now let's say you've got it, the whole thing of you don't want anything on Shabbos to happen.
That's right. That's right. That's right. However, the struggle, that struggle of transforming darkness to light, that achieves something tremendous. That achieves a revelation of Hashem. So we're now on the second line of the second paragraph. וזהו מה שהמשווה משכן כסיב ועשית את הקרושים למשכן. You should make planks for the mishkan. Yes. You should make planks for the mishkan. Now look at the word plank. Keresh is a plank. Kuf leishin. Here, we're right on the first page. Keresh is the word for a plank. Keresh hu oisir sheker, but it's the same letters as the word sheker. What does sheker mean? Lies, falsehood. So we can take something which is falsehood, v'agidei shemahafkim es hasheker ge'olam, through the fact that we transform the falsehood of the world, the keresh hamishkan, into a plank of the sanctuary, agidei ze naseh v'shechanti v'soichom, through that we achieve that Hashem dwells within us. Hamshochas ikar shchina b'tachtonim, we've drawn down the essence of the shchina into the lower world. Now, and then it talks about the way that the Mishkan was made of atze shittim, and the word shittim comes from the Loshon shtus, folly. And there is a folly, there is a shtus. We all know that shtus is something bad. Yes? That shtus, that's silly, we say. Now there are foolish things in the world, but we can transform them into what he calls here shtus kedusha, the folly of holiness. The folly of holiness is when a person, that's six lines up from the end of that paragraph, we transform the shtus of the world into the shtus of holiness. Shtus of holiness is an extra special dedication to Hashem. And when there is that extra special dedication to Hashem, people say, oh, it's ridiculous, why are you bothered about such and such a thing? You say, no, look, I want to be strict about it, I want to be careful about it. And people might say, oh, come on, don't be so old-fashioned, or whatever. But is that, don't be so machmet, but that strictness, that shdus tikadusha, that extra quality, that transforms the negative kind of shtus into something exalted and positive, and that is what the whole process of our lives are, that we achieve the transformation of something which could be negative, we achieve that we transform it into something positive on the highest level. Now, then goes on in Perek Gimel, he speaks about the way that this concept of make for me a mikdash, that talks about the first base of mikdash and the second base of mikdash, and ultimately also about the third base of mikdash. That too is going to have this, all of them are going to have this quality, this very, very special quality, where we are transforming negativity into something positive. However, in order to do this, in order to transform the negative into something positive, there's a battle going on. It's a battle inside us, it's a battle within the Jewish people, it's a battle of the Jewish people within the world. Now look at Ois Dalet. Look at Ois Dalet, please. Perek Dalet is very short. V'zehu mashi Yisroel nikroim b'shem Tzivos Hashem. That is why the Jewish people are called Tzivos Hashem. V'meshech kol ha-doyros, through all the generations. B'chol echod v'achas mi Yisrael, because every single Jew who chayil the Tzivos Hashem is a soldier in the army of Hashem. Tzivos Hashem means the army of Hashem. And we are all in that army. She yoytzeh tzavah l'milchoma, because the army goes out to war. Lichboish es ha'olam, to conquer the world. V'la'asoy soydil lo yisbolach, and to make the world into a dwelling for Hashem. V'zeh ma'asheh Yisrael nikra v'shem tzivos Hashem. And the fact that the Jewish people are called the army of Hashem, who l'hoiras, is to teach us. Sh'avoydesum tzricha v'yoyis, that our service has to be but often in such a way, we shouldn't worry in rational terms about can we really do it? Will we be able to achieve it? We've got to go with a way of shtus dikdusha, of the sacred folly, mesiris nefesh, lemaina mitam v'das, above reason, b'dugma tzava kipshuta, like an army. When the army are going into war, they don't start worrying, what about it this, what about it that, they just go straight on, the tanks are rolling, and that's how we have to be in our avodas Hashem, in every way, in our families, in our communities, and transforming the world, and in Chabad houses around the world, transforming the world. Now then, it goes on, and here we're coming towards chapter 18. Umamshich ba'mayim, and it continues in the distills, in the maimer, the kamoish, the milchama gashmis, just as in a physical war, b'chdei lenatzeich es milchama, in order to win the war, in order to be victorious, lenatzeich, netzach, victory, the king squanders all the treasures that have been collected up for generations, and now he gives them to the soldiers in the army, and we are going to use, we the soldiers use that. These are the teachings of Hasidus, which are being given over to us by the Rebbeim, and we're going to use those teachings of Hasidus in order to transform the world. We are the soldiers in the army. And then Perek Vav, which is on the next page, Page Ches, Perek Vav, or Mamshich Ba Maim, and it goes on in the original Maim of the Perek Chai in chapter 18, Ha Perek Shalom Din B'Shom Azul, the chapter that we're learning this year, which was in 1988, 20 years ago, B'Pam Ashniya, the second time, and we are now learning it for the third time. And he explains there, now it's at this point that we're going to look at our diagram, okay? The diagram tells us, you see, the key point here is Netzach Yisrael lo yeshakya, the quality of Netzach, that we go with Netzach, with the quality of victory, we go beyond all cheshbonos, we go beyond everything. And what it explains in chapter 18, which you have here in English and you can read later on, chapter 18 explains that the mind and the heart of a person are very facile. The heart can be swayed this way, and it can be swayed that way, and the mind can be tricked in different ways. Sometimes the mind sees like this, and sometimes the mind sees like that. It's true, we talk about moyach shalit al halev, the mind should rule the heart, but sometimes you can deceive the mind as well, and the mind can go all wandering off. The Rambam says, lo yisasudu achalei levavchem, don't go astray after your heart and after your eyes. After your heart means you start thinking this, and then you start thinking that. After your eyes means the more normal desires that a person might have. But just going astray after the heart. So there's the heart, which means the feelings, the emotions, and the mind. Those are, now you see there, we have wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Excuse me, this print, that's the mind, that's this level, these are the spheres, Chochma Bina Das. Below are the emotions, kindness, severity, mercy, those are the lower emotions, those are the emotions, so there's the emotion, the mind. But then, we go higher. There is, above this, there is Ein Sof, the infinite, that's the very, very highest level. And as we're reaching towards the infinite, we come to what's called the outer level of Keser, which is called Arich Ampin, the hidden reason for the person's will. That's the will, which is beyond what the mind may be thinking. The will, a person, you know, there are people, they have an iron will. Their will is focused on something, and they want to achieve that thing. That's a very, very important thing. They're not going to be diverted. Even that level of will, there's a kind of reason for it. They may not express it. It's kind of called tam komus, a hidden reason. When you go beyond that, you come to atik yoimin, atik, the inwardness of keser, the essence beyond any reason. When we go to that level, the essence beyond any reason whatsoever, that's rock hard. That's the real power of the Jew to do everything that he or she needs to do, facing all the challenges of the world. And it relates to Netzach. Netzach is a sphere down the bottom end of the diagram. Netzach relates to action. Practical action. That you bring into practical action what is the right thing to do. And it goes beyond what we feel, and it goes beyond what we think, and even what we might think. It goes to a level which is the real essence of our soul. And what it explains in this Maimon is that the rebellion, you see, there are the seven figures, Avram coming down to Moshe Rabbeinu, and there are the seven rebellion from the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, and then the Rebbe Maharash, the Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe, and then our Rebbe, the seventh Rebbe. So the Rebbeim and our Rebbe in particular are achieving. This is what is extremely interesting about this Maimon. They tap this essence, this deepest level, and they transmit it to us by the fact that we are in the generation of the Rebbe. And we have this connection with the Rebbe, that we've heard of the Rebbe. It might even work if we haven't heard of the Rebbe. But it, because it says in Tanya that the tzaddikim have an effect even on people who don't know about them and even people who are opposed to them. But Baruch Hashem, we know about the Rebbe and we're connected with the Rebbe. And we're learning the Rebbe's teaching. The Rebbe taps this deep level of the essence, the inwardness of Keser, the essence beyond any reason, which is absolutely the very essence where the soul of the Jew and Hashem are bonded together, and the Rebbe transmits that to us. So that each one of us has that strength within us. I was in the university today, and we began talking. I gave a course there on Hasidism, and we were talking about the role of the woman in Hasidism just today. And in fact, we learned a bit of Bas Yedigani because it talks about the way in which the simcha that there is at a chasana, and the fifth perek of the original Bas Yedigani. And so, one of the people in the shir, a frum woman, she began saying, "It's just because I said the way the Chabad shluchim go around the world." It really depends on the women. Because it's the women who agree they're going to live in this place or in that place, in Hong Kong, whatever it might be. It's the woman who is ready to do that. So this frum lady, she lives in Golden Spring, she happens to be there in the university. She said, "It's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing." I said to her, "You know what? I also think it's amazing." It is amazing. And it's amazing, and the Maimer explains, yes, Taki, it's amazing, and it's given to us by the Rebbe, this quality of connecting with the essence in such a tremendous way, that Be'ezus Hashem, I believe we've reached the end of our time, that with this power, with this sense of connection to the essence of Hashem, which the Rebbe enables us to achieve and shares with us, through that we are going to bring Mashiach. And we're going to transform the world. Literally, the sheker, the falsehood of the world, is going to be transformed into the corruption, into the beams of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, and it will be the Ikar Shechina. The Shechina will be here in this world, just as it was at the time of the creation of the world. That's what it's supposed to be in Gan Eden. This world will be transformed into a beautiful garden with the Shechina here in the time of Mashiach that came in now, mamash.
Amen. I have two questions. I'd like to know what the Lubavitch Rebbe did for the 10 years when the Friedrich Rebbe was living in New York. What did the Lubavitch Rebbe do?
The Rebbe came to New York in 1941, and the previous Rebbe immediately put him in charge of three organizations. One is Kahas, the publishing organization, and the Rebbe began editing the Ma'amorim of the Friedrich Rebbe and the Sichas. One is Machane Yisrael, which is an outreach organization. And that outreach organization was doing all kinds of spiritual activities, actually helping to bring Mashiach. That was the purpose of it. And the other was Merkos Vinyane Chinuch, which had offices all over the world, which was intended to spread Yiddishkeit and publish thousands of books even at that age. And at that time, and it got children to learn, the children in the non-Jewish schools would come and learn Torah. All that was organized by the Rebbe during the 1940s.
Oh, it's
a yeah.
Rabbi Dr. Lentel, I want to add that the children also came to those Fabrengen besides.
Yes. Oh,
children,
yes.
And they had to be told by Mrs. Sudak to write any word that they heard from the Rebbe in Yiddish. And they were all writing. Remember?
That's right.
All the words they had in Yiddish. And they were so good.
Yes.
It was 2 o'clock at night, 4 o'clock at night, 5 o'clock at night.
Absolutely.
I just tell you, once I had such rachmanis to wake the kids, it was 2:30. I said, I can't wake them up anymore, because we had it so often. So I'm not waking them up. Did I get the meshugarach? Did I get the meshugarach from one of them? Don't you, mommy, don't you ever do that again. We want to get our water. So after that, I woke them up each time. You know.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.